You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and Engineer Jim here in beautiful Las Vegas, where, the Silver and Black lost a game that, simply put, at this point in the calendar, they just simply could not lose. They lose tonight 30-27 to Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers in overtime. And joining us tonight to help break it all down, try to help us make sense of what happened tonight at Allegiant Stadium, two pals of ours, and those of you who have followed the Silver and Black for a minute will be very familiar with them. We welcome in Khalif Barnes and Bryce Butler, who were teammates on the 2013 and 2014 versions of the Raiders. Obviously, their careers in Silver and Black span longer than that, but 2013 and 2014 are the years that they were teammates. And Khalif, man, I'll start with this one. So Derek Carr gets hurt, Marcus Mariota comes in. So I'll ask Bryce the same thing in a sec, but I want to start with you. How hard is it? How hard is kind of the situation that not only Marcus was put in, but the entire offense is put in when you have a backup come in last second, you know, kind of you're running the fire drill? Like, how difficult is that for a team, especially at this point of the year?
Yeah, Eddie, what's up, man? And Bryce, what's up, man? It's been a long time since I got to hang out with you and play with you. It's good to talk. To answer your question, Eddie, man, sometimes, you know, the chemistry of the team can get kind of, you know, tweaked a little bit when that happens, but you're a professional, right? And you're trained to, you know, deal with these kind of things as they come up, because every team in the NFL has to deal with something to this point. Not everyone deals with their starting quarterback going down, granted, but also it shows you the preparedness and what it took for Marcus to step in when Derek got hurt, to go in and continue to do what he needed to do, try to help win the team. Now, a few things can affect this. You know, all week, you know, the first team is working with, you know, first team guys and quarterbacks to get their fair share, as well as, you know, the backups. So you're not used to, per se, the same cadence as, you know, the starting quarterback or the progression that he's used to going to. But you practice it enough, and if you're professional enough, you understand that this is a possibility that it can happen. So you as a lineman, you know, you can't use that as an excuse, saying, well, I couldn't block well enough because my starting quarterback was out. Or, you know, you can't just use those excuses. You have to be a professional, and you have to, you know, take account to everything that can possibly happen on the football field. And tonight, that's one of the things that happened. You know, your starting quarterback went down. So the preparedness has to show if who's it's, you know, I had a coach along. He's one of my favorite offensive line coaches. And he always taught everybody to be prepared, whether you're a starter or not. Prepare. If you're not a starter, you prepare like you are a starter. If you are a starter, you prepare like you're about to lose that job. So just keep everybody on their toes. So when somebody goes out, it's like the next man has to step and carry the flag kind of deal.
So, I mean, you're 100% right, Khalif, where I really think this offense really did kind of hold the flag, as you said, carried the flag pretty well for DC tonight. But, Bryce, I'm curious, as a wide receiver, when you're going through your week, if you're, you know, a starting wideout for this team, if you're Nelson Aguilar, if you're Zay Jones, if you're someone like that, how many reps do you get with the backup? Or is a lot of your time really just with you and the starter, in this case, Derek?
You spend a lot of time running with that number one quarterback. When I say the number one quarterback, I mean like in team-specific team scenario, like, you know, running plays in practice. You don't really get that much time with your backup quarterback running situations in practice. Now, yes, some of those guys might catch some balls from Marcus during the week, you know, in ND and whatever. But they're not doing any scenario situations with Marcus Mariota, maybe until like Friday, you know, when they're just going through, you know, the last things on the script or whatnot. So I would say I will put a lot more weight on the success of what Marcus does or your backup quarterback on those starting receivers. You know, you saw tonight, you know, there were some drop passes. It looked like at the end of the game, the pick that was thrown, I think in the fourth quarter to Zay, it looked like he was running a spot route and he was supposed to kind of just sit in that void and wait for a little bit. And then if he's not open, he can uncover late. And it looked like he moved too early and Marcus saw him open through the ball. And obviously Zay was already running to the other spot and the ball was behind him. And then, you know, Harris takes the pick and almost takes it to the house. So those are little things that, you know, maybe those situations don't happen with Derek on the field because obviously he's been running a lot of plays with these guys. So he might know, okay, I know Zay on this route, he might get a little antsy. So don't throw the ball too soon because if he does, it'll be behind and could get picked off. You know what I'm saying? But Marcus doesn't know that. So the receivers need to stick to their keys, stick to their offensive principles to help that guy that they don't have the same rapport with so they can all look good on the field.
And I think that's what a lot of it comes down to, Bryce, is just kind of that familiarity. And I mean, Coach Gruden talked about it post-game where he said, you know, Marcus did an incredible job given the circumstances. And I think that all three of us know that just the rest that the backup gets in practice throughout the week is just simply not what the starter gets. I mean, there's only so many reps to go around, and especially at this point of the season, you need to have your starting quarterback ready to go 100% of the time. You got to give him every single rep that he can get. And Khalif, I'm kind of curious, though, for a lineman's perspective on this, where Derek and Mariota, two very different guys in terms of how they attack a defense. And Mariota, we saw it today with more of that kind of that RPO look that Gruden wanted to roll with. As a lineman, when you've been doing one thing for all of the season, right? When you've been blocking a certain way for Derek, when you've been getting things ready to go for Josh, how long does it take to kind of adjust in game to be able to kind of do that RPO to protect Mariota in a way that I guess is a little bit different than Derek, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And what it all boils down to is it's your job. You know, it boils down to it's your job. I was in a few different circumstances where we had, you know, some RPO quarterbacks and had to switch from RPO quarterbacks to just, you know, pocket quarterbacks or vice versa. When I was a few years when I was in Oakland. And so what you have to do is you have to know through practice and through seeing our guys through the week of who does what and what style that they play. And then you have to adjust accordingly, knowing that this game is, you know, it's like the next man up, you know. So you have every time you go into a game, you have the possibility. That's why they have backups, man. And the word backup to me kind of just, it's like watered down a little bit because basically you're a starter just waiting to get in. You're one injury away from hopping right in there, and now you're the man at that position. So backup to me is kind of a watered down term. You know, it's kind of like everyone has to be starters on this thing. If we want to be good and we want to establish a team and a culture, per se, I would say the biggest thing, if you want to establish a culture, it's like it doesn't matter who's next up because we establish a culture in this locker room that we expect winning. So when that becomes contagious and spreads through the locker room, it doesn't matter who the next man up is because you know our expectations. So it all comes down to expectations and how we expect you to perform. If not, there's other jobs out there for you. You know, I wanted to play this game for a long time, and I did. And the reason why you do is because that you're ready in any circumstance. I used to be a left tackle for years, man, and I prided myself in being, you know, one of the best left tackles. You know, a prior position, I'm supposed to be blocking the best. But another coach had told me, like, hey, man, it's all about your availability and what you can do, how versatile you are, how you can help the team. So you're a left tackle. If you're prepared to be a left guard, right guard, and a right tackle, all the better for your team. So it's all about reinforcements because this is a long season and injuries happen. So every Super Bowl team that you go through and go back and check, they've had injuries. And so you have to figure out how they get through those. Somebody stepped up in every single Super Bowl. I don't care what year you start at, if you go back through every Super Bowl, it was never the original starters that went through and finished that whole season. Somebody had to step in. So that's what it takes to win in this league.
You know, and you're right, dude. We're, unfortunately, the Raiders have just been bitten by the injury bug in a huge way. I mean, tonight's just another
COVID
and everything. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Where you look at tonight, it's like it's not just Derek. Hunter Renfro gets knocked out with a concussion. I mean, there's just so many. It really is just that next man up mentality. We're talking about guys coming in and making plays and all that. And Bryce, you look at the other side of things, and Justin Herbert plays just an incredible game. I mean, the dude was balling out for a rookie, too, on, under the bright lights. And I know that the season hasn't gone the way that the Chargers would have liked it to. You know, they're sitting at 5-9, obviously not the record that they're hoping for. But when you saw him tonight, when you kind of saw him from your vantage point as a receiver, what do you think he was doing well to kind of put his team in a position to win and then ultimately making that final play in overtime?
Man, that's a great question. It kind of goes back to what I was saying about, like, the Raiders receivers, right? But it was just like an opposite scenario. The Chargers didn't have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams all game, right? And they had, I think, two undrafted rookie receivers playing. And those boys stepped up. I mean, just like Khalif was saying, man, it's just it's about the next man up mentality. And you could tell those dudes have been chomping at the bit all year and, you know, ready to go out there and make some plays. And Justin knew that, and probably he probably spends a lot of time, you know, with those young guys because they're all rookies. And so he probably knew, like, these guys are going to make plays for me. I just have to trust them. And, you know, 10 is a really good quarterback. I've been watching him all year. I went to USC. He went to Oregon. So, I saw them play a lot in the Pac-12 last year. And I knew he was going to be a good quarterback. And, you know, ever since Tyrod got hurt, I mean, he's just stepped in there and he's looked like a, you know, he's looked like a top 10 quarterback in the league at times, you know. So, you know, he just went out there and made the right plays to win the game. And, I mean, in overtime, to throw that bomb like that, you know, and almost basically just in the game, you know, like that, was crazy because I thought the game was sold up. Like, after we kicked the field goal, I was like, oh, yeah, it's over. There's no way they drive the whole field and score. And then, you know, he just went down the field and then he capped it off with his own touchdown. So, I mean, he just did everything that he had to do. He made the right plays. He let the game come to him. He wasn't trying to force, you know, balls in there. He was throwing the balls that needed to be thrown. And then, you know, our defense didn't play well. I was yelling at the TV a little bit because it looked like we were trying to play bracket coverage on both sides of the field, but, like, dudes were still getting on, you know, getting past the safety on the inside, running in route, and that's not supposed to happen, but that's another conversation. He did a good job. He did everything that he was supposed to. He took what the defense gave him, and he took, you know, he did his thing.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the defense, Bryce, and Khalif, I want to ask you the same thing because, you know, it's no secret that the Raiders defense has struggled all year. I mean, and in large part, that's a reason why Paul Gunther is no longer the defensive coordinator, is those continual struggles. And the team makes the move on Sunday night to ultimately move on from Coach Gunther, elevate Rod Marinelli to be the DC. And I just wonder, for a group, Khalif, and I don't remember if you guys went through any coordinator changes when you were here, but what does a coordinator change? Like, what does that really do during a season?
Well, at this point in the season, what they did with Paul and Rod, it's not going to be a whole bunch because you got like 4 games left. You know what I mean? So, in that retrospect, it's not going to do a whole bunch. You know, but I played against Rod Marinelli defenses when he was in Dallas, and we had the. When my old buddy Maurice Jones-Drew came over and he practiced against Dallas down in Oxnard, California for a training camp a couple of days and got into a little bit of a brawl, if y'all remember a little bit. But so Rod's defenses are taught to be fiery. And I remember when he took over, I think I read a couple of days ago that said he just expects gang tackling, 100% effort, and this guy's knowing what they're doing. If you do that, then you can play for Rod. If you don't do that, God help you. Because I heard him, you know, rip into some guys who weren't doing what they're supposed to do when we used to practice against them, when we play them in our center. So I know what Rod's defense are about. But also, too, I mean, Paul Gunther's a very good defensive coordinator as well. I mean, he's been in the league for a long time. He's got his footprint on here, too. But at the at this point of the season, it's not going to be a whole bunch of change. You're gonna have to do this through drafting, through your scouting department. You have to go out, look for the right guys that fit your scheme of who John wants to bring in for the defense. And then you have to find an identity. You know, you have to have an identity on both sides of the ball. You have to have that. For years, Pittsburgh has an identity. For years, the Patriots had an identity. For decades, the Raiders had an identity, too. So when you establish an identity and you know who you are, the better you are to find those people to fit your profile and to fit what you're trying to do. And the closer and the faster you can do that, you can get everybody running. But to switch, you know, with four games left, you know, you're not going to do a whole lot of different of, you know, what you've been doing in the first place. But there's a respect there that has to be demanded there from Rod Marinelli, for sure.
You know, and I think you're right. We're kind of bringing up that gang tackling, Cleef. I think that is one thing. I mean, and look, the past 2 weeks, the Silver and Black, prior to tonight, gave up over 200 yards rushing back-to-back weeks. That's not good. I think they were better today against the run, or tonight, I should say, against the run. But obviously, still so much room for improvement. And I think you're right, Leaf, where it is going to come down to adding some pieces throughout in the draft, in free agency, kind of seeing where we are at the end of the year. But just wrapping it up with our guys, Cleef Barnes and Bryce Butler. And Bryce, you know, on our way out of here, we're looking at the schedule now. We got three games left, right? Playoffs, not completely out of the realm of possibility, but you got your, you know, you need a lot of help. You need a lot of help over these next couple weeks. So percentage-wise, it's
who we got? Who we playing?
We have Miami next weekend. So Miami on next Saturday night, and then after at home in Vegas, and then after that we run to Denver to wrap it up. And I feel like we always wrap it up in Denver every year. But two games left, and you need a lot of help to get even in the playoffs. So at this point, what does the mindset of this team need to be, Bryce? Like, what do you as a player, as a guy, knowing, hey, I got two more chances to go out there. We don't know the status of our starting quarterback. Coach Gruden didn't seem like it made it seem like it was too serious. But at this point, I mean, you never know in terms of injuries, right? Like, we probably won't really have a good idea of where DC's at until early next week. So if you're a wide receiver on this team, if you're a linebacker, if you're a guy who's, you know, just trying to put his best foot forward, what is the approach you take into this final portion of 2020?
Man, I mean, all you can do is playoff mode. You know, wherever you guys are right now, which I think is 7-6
or 7-7.
Yeah. You know, we're here. Like, we can't go back and fix that. So now we're at the point where it's playoff mode. Like, you know, you can expect if you lose, you're going home. You're not going to have a chance in the playoffs. And you expect if you win, you at least give yourself a fighting chance to actually make it to the playoffs. And that's all you can think of, man. You can't look in the past. You have to just look forward. You know what I'm saying? And take it day by day, step by step. Focus on the day. You know, so the next practice, I think, for them will be maybe Saturday or Sunday. Maybe Sunday. You know, you just have to focus on, you know, your keys and your principles and whatever on those days. If you're Marcus Mariota, obviously you have to stay focused with that in mind as well, because I would not expect Derek is going to be back. And I would tell the whole team that, like, don't expect him to come back. You know, play with what we got. If he comes back, great. But we have to work with what we got. And right now that's number 8, and he did a great job tonight, and we're going to build on that. Hopefully Marcus is not thinking about this, but obviously, you know, if he keeps showing what he did tonight, you know, that puts him in a good scenario for his future, you know, getting back into that starting quarterback role, because obviously we all do know he went to Oregon as well. He was a starting quarterback in the league for about 4 or 5 years, and he had some success, had some failures. So this is a great moment for him to prove to the whole NFL that, you know, he can still play at a high level. And, you know, the Raiders just come out and take it day by day, step by step, one game at a time. Don't look to the future. At this point in the year, it gets really tough. Me and Cleef playing the same team. We had some struggles in Oakland early. Then I went to Dallas and, you know, had some successes there. And the one thing that I will tell you between the teams that had success and the team that had failures is when you got down to like the ending of the season and it was like the nut cutting time, you know, was the team talking about, okay, we're making the playoffs, like we're going to make this push, or were guys talking about, you know, my flight's out in January, where am I going on my first trip, you know, after the season's over, you know what I'm saying? That's like the difference between those teams that make that final push to actually get in the playoffs versus the teams that don't. So they have, the whole team has to be cognizant of staying focused. The mission is still the Super Bowl, and we have to take it one game at a time.
I mean, very well said. And like, you know, it's such an old tired sports cliche, guys, but until there is no chance of going to the playoffs, until you are officially eliminated, you got to just keep going to work. You got to keep grinding. And we'll see where the chips fall in a couple weeks. So Bryce Butler, Khalif Barnes, man, we appreciate you guys so much for hopping on, staying up late with us. You know, being willing, I should say, to come hang out does not go unnoticed, and we really, really do appreciate you guys. It was great to catch up with you. And after we come back from the break, we're going to crack a few ice-cold Coors Lights and look ahead to the next week and get on out of here. But like I said, thank you to Bryce Butler. Thank you to Khalif Barnes. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Touchdown, Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.
And a huge shout out and a huge thank you, a genuine thank you to Khalif Barnes and Bryce Butler for staying up late and hanging out with us. And guys, we're going to look ahead right now. We're going to crack some ice cold Coors Lights and we're going to get out of here. But before we do, I kind of just want to look back at a few things that we didn't have a chance to talk with Bryce and Khalif about. And the first one is this. The defense still, and we kind of touched on this a little bit. This Raiders defense is a work in progress. 100%. And yes, you make a coordinator change. Yes, you have Rod Marinelli in. And the results, I don't know if it's necessarily fair. Actually, I know it's not fair to judge this defense off of what we saw tonight. Keep in mind, Rod Marinelli got this job Sunday night. We're recording this on Thursday night. And say what you want about the Chargers coming into this game. And yes, they have found incredibly creative ways to lose. And yes, they almost did it again tonight. But all jokes aside, if you're looking at the numbers objectively, this was a top 10 offense coming into Allegiant Stadium tonight. And they looked like it. I mean, Justin Herbert is going to be a problem in this league. He's going to be a problem in the AFC West for a very, very long time. I'm looking at his line right now. 22 of 32, 314 yards, 2 tutties, no picks. Finishes with a pass rating of 121.1. And man, he looked good. Yes, he had a few missed throws at kind of those rookie, you're kind of scratching your head, what's going on? Not quite sure throws. But he looked good, guys. He looked good. And as good as Trayvon Mullen has been in 2020, and he has had a really, really good 2020, make no mistake about it. I've talked about it all year. I think he is rapidly becoming one of the best cornerbacks in the division. I really do. Very quietly becoming one of the best defensive backs in the AFC West. He had a hard night tonight, and that's part of being a cornerback in the NFL. You are going to lose. You are going to lose sometimes. Being a cornerback in the NFL, it's about how short is your memory. Because you got to be able to turn the page. You got to be able to turn the page after, oh, I had a bad play, wipe it out. Oh, had a bad series, got to wipe it out. In this case for Trayvon, a rough go on primetime. He's going to go back. He's going to watch that film. He's going to be even better the next time he gets his chances. And he had a few really nice plays. He did. But you look at the penalties. The penalties were killer tonight. Not good. Came at really inopportune times. But he will get better, 100%. And I'm looking at the numbers right now. The Chargers finished with 96 yards on the ground, averaging just over 3 yards a run. And it's not great. Not great. 96, I'm sure you'd like that number to go down. But compared to what we saw the past 2 weeks, where it was 200-plus yards per week, per game, we'll take 96 yards. And it did feel like for a lot of this game, we were waiting for that Raiders defense to make a stand. And give them credit. They on that sack right at the end of regulation. I mean, that was the play. That was the play that they needed to make, and they made it. But as Khalif said, as Bryce said, the problems on this defense are not going to be fixed in the next 3 weeks. They're not. At the end of the season, whenever that comes, and hopefully it's not in 2 weeks, but at the end of the season, Mike Mayock, John Gruden, this defensive staff is going to have to look at what worked, what didn't work, and you are going to have to add some pieces in free agency in the draft to make this unit better. Because I think we saw tonight, regardless of who's at quarterback, whether it's DC, whether it's Mariota, whoever it is, and actually, before you guys misconstrue my words, because I know someone out there is going to do it, I am not suggesting that Marcus Mariota is going to supplant Derek Carr. I am not. Derek is the franchise quarterback for this team. Derek got hurt. Derek was not benched. Derek has played like a Pro Bowler this year, and he got hurt. Unfortunately, that is part of the game. And Marcus Mariota came in, and guys, you know I am the biggest Oregon guy. And he played his ass off. He had an incredible game. 17-28, 226, a touchdown and INT, but on the ground, 9 for 88. But let me put this into perspective, guys. Mariota was the team's leading rusher tonight. But we'll talk about him in just a second. But my point is this. This offense is good. Also, Darren Waller very sneakily going for 150 yards again? Ugh. Try to find me a better tight end in the NFL right now. Please, just try. I know Kelsey's a stud, and I tweeted this out during the game. Kelsey is an absolute animal. This is not a shot at Travis Kelce at all. Travis Kelce is a good, good tight end. He is a baller. But give me Darren Waller every day of the week. And twice on primetime. My goodness, have a day, D-Wall. But to go back to the original point, this Raiders offense is built to succeed. I know the offensive line had their issues tonight. In a few key moments, and I think that you look at the struggles on third down, third and short, and I think that's where you begin with the issues. But I feel good about this offense. I really do. I really, really do. I'm excited. I'm very intrigued, just like the rest of you, to see what happens the next 2 weeks. Obviously, we want Derek to be okay. We want Derek to be at 100%. But part of being a quarterback in this league is being able to protect yourself. And if Derek is unable to protect himself, if Derek is unable to go out there and do what he needs to do to not only one, do enough to help the team win, but two, do it where he's not putting himself at risk, you got to see Mariota for these next 2 weeks. You absolutely have to. And as I was talking to the guys before, we realistically won't know much about Derek's status probably until early next week, I would imagine. I would assume he goes in tomorrow. He gets a little more clarity. But Derek's not scheduled, or the quarterback is not scheduled to speak until next Monday, we'll hear from Gruden later this afternoon, because as you guys know, this comes out on a Friday morning. But as I said, I feel good about this offense. I really, really do. The defense, on the other hand, we still have some question marks, and I think that's fair to say. So to go back to my original point, I'm sorry for rambling, guys. It's not fair to judge Rod Marinelli's effort on tonight. It's not. I think that after these next two games, and we see where everything kind of shakes out after that, I think we look at these three games in totality. We see what worked, what didn't work, what was better than when Paul Gunther was here, what was perhaps not as good as expected, and I think we go from there. But to kind of judge this group in totality off of 4 days, 3 days since this move was made, not fair. Not fair at all. But unfortunately, it is going to be the story until it is remedied that this defense has some issues. This defense is going to have to be better over these final 2 weeks. And it is certainly, no doubt about it, going to have to be better in 2021 if this team wants to make any noise in this division. And that's simply a fact. That's not something that is a surprise to many people. At this point, that is the reality. It is. Another reality, we got 2 weeks left. Raiders no longer control their own destiny. We now go into the mini bye sitting at 7-7, and 8-6 would have been so good, guys. It would have been so, so, so good. But unfortunately, Justin Herbert and the Chargers did just enough, and boy, oh boy, did they make it interesting at the end. Can you imagine if Herbert was short on that attempt to win the game, on that final play, on that final sneak? I mean, boy, they really were playing with fire there at the end. Really, really, really playing with fire. But credit where it's due. They did enough to win the game. And it wasn't pretty. And we don't feel good about it. I mean, I'm sure they feel better than we do. But, I mean, they had a bunch of chances to win that game. A bunch of chances. And to be fair, so did the Silver and Black. You know, it was an entertaining game, no doubt about it. Was it the prettiest game of football? Certainly not. But it was a very, very entertaining game, if nothing else. And we say goodbye to Thursday Night Football for the year. That was the final Thursday Night Football tilt on the docket for 2020. And now, well, we get the Saturday Night games back, so that's kind of exciting. And as I said, the Raiders will play on Saturday evening, the night after Christmas, taking on Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. But we got a lot of time in between now and then. We got a lot of things to talk about. There will be no shortage of storylines over the next, call it, 8 days, 9 days, whatever it is. So on that note, we're gonna crack one ice cold Coors Light since the guys left and KMM, as you guys know, doesn't join me on the post game show. But we're gonna crack one single ice cold Coors Light tonight, and the man it's going to is not a surprise. We're cracking an ice cold Coors Light for none other than Marcus Mariota. He was incredible, guys. He did everything that he possibly could to win that game. He's the team's leading rusher with 88 yards. He completes, what am I looking at the numbers here? He completes 17 of 28 for 226, like I said a minute ago. And the way that he played was just so much fun. And I tweeted this out a couple times during the game. I was lucky enough to see Marcus in college, as was our social czar Matt Walks and the great Kyle Cannon, Booby Cartwright Barton as well. And you forget, man, and I'll admit, I forgot too, just how electric of a player this dude is. We haven't seen him in over a year now. Obviously, things end not super great for him in Tennessee. But you saw those glimpses tonight. You saw why the Raiders brought him into backup DC. He adds another element, another wrinkle to this offense. And when he is cooking, and make no mistake about it, he was cooking tonight. He is a lot of fun to watch. And when you think about everything that this dude went through over the past 18 months, man, good for you, Marcus Mariota. Good for you. I know you didn't get the win tonight. I know that you would have loved the win. I know we would have loved the win. We would all be in much better moods had we gotten the win. But good for you. Good for you. He's going to sleep very well tonight. He's going to know when he lays his head down on that pillow, he did everything he could in a suboptimal situation. He came in. Look, I know it's kind of the deal for being a backup. You got to be ready at a moment's notice. But it is so different to say that and then actually go in and execute. And that's exactly what he did. You're not going to find a prettier touchdown in the NFL this year than that dime he dropped to Waller. You won't do it. It's going to be impossible to find a prettier throw and catch. That was, oh, chef's kiss. And then we see him in the RPO. We see that old Mariota, that razzle-dazzle. Dude, it was a lot of fun, man. Tonight sucked. We lost. Our playoff chances are rapidly, rapidly deteriorating. The percentages are not in our favor. They're not zero, but they're not good. We need some help. We need a lot of help to get into the postseason. And a win tonight would have been huge, guys. It would have been absolutely colossal. But it was not in the cards. But the reason for that loss is not Marcus Mariota. It's not. He played his behind off. And this cold Coors Light is for him. Mahalo Marcus, flying again. And oh, it was a sight to see. So let's rejoice in that. Let's enjoy the fact that a great athlete, and a great quarterback, got a chance to go out there and do his thing. You just hearing him talk post-game, you could tell how much this meant to him. What a blast. A great night that had the absolute worst ending possible. But we got to try to find some positives. We got a soldier on. And here's one positive. We're on the mini bye now. It's going to be a great chance for some guys to get healthy. And this team is banged up. They need this mini bye in the worst way. They need a few days to get their minds, get their bodies, get everything right. And then buckle up, come back to work, and take on Tua and the Dolphins. So, on that note, for Eddie Pascal, Engineer Jim, our guests this week, Khalif Barnes and Bryce Butler, and everyone else at Silver and Black Productions who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And guys, enjoy the weekend. Watch a little football, but get outside too. We're so locked in on these Sundays. Go for a walk. Do something. Clear your head. Enjoy. Spend some time with your family. But do it safely, as I always tell you every week. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We will catch you guys next week for our usual episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light. on the official Raiders Podcast Network.